Take your Bibles, turn to Ezekiel 28. We're going to talk a little bit about a couple passages of Scripture that I'd like you to become a bit familiar with. It talks about old Slewfoot, some refer to him as, or Smutty Face, old Smutty Face, as Brother Jack Grigsby used to call him, Satan, the devil. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. I want to talk a little bit about him and show you two passages of Scripture, one in Ezekiel, and if you'll get, in the other hand, Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. And Ezekiel 28 talks about the king of one place. It talks about the king of Cyrus, another of Tyrus, and historically these are probably literal physical kings, but spiritually it's speaking and gives a background of Satan, and you'll see where some of it will not even apply to this king, where you can see it talks about the devil and his being lifted up, and that he will find out that he was a created being. And another thing of interest, you'll find out many preachers teach that Satan was an angel, is an angel, and the Bible don't teach that. He is a cherub. He is the anointed cherub that covered the throne of God, that covereth. And we'll just read it, and I'm not going to go in. These passages are deep. I'm not going to go deep. There's just so much here that I don't understand, or probably no one else does. But in Ezekiel 28, it says, the word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a god, I sit in the seat of God in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. Speaking to this prince of Tyrus. Behold, he says, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. With thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten these riches and hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasures. By thy great wisdom and by thy traffic hast thou increased thy riches, and thine heart is lifted up because of the riches. Therefore, saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, therefore, I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness. They shall bring thee down to the pit, and thou shalt die the deaths of them that are slain in the midst of the seas. Wilt thou yet say before him that slayeth thee, I am God? But thou shalt be a man and no God in the hand of him that slayeth thee. In verse 10 it says, thou shalt die the deaths of the uncircumcised by the hand of strangers, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Here we'll see this description. Thou hast been in Eden. Notice past tense. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, and the onyx, and the jasper, and the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. And I have set thee so. Thou wast upon, past tense, thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, and they may behold thee, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, and by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, and it shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. Now this passage is a companion passage to Isaiah 14, verse 4 through 20. And both of these passages apparently speak to an historical earthly king or prince who prophetically represents Satan and the Antichrist and the different roles. In Isaiah 14, 4, the Bible says, "And thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how hast the oppressor ceased, the golden city ceased? And the Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. He who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he that ruled the nations in anger is persecuted and unhindereth. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee, and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, since thou art laid down, no feller is come up against us. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirred up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It has raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations, all they that speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials, the worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning?" If you have an NIV, they've removed the word Lucifer here, and they've attributed to the devil the title of the morning star. Just wanted to throw that in. "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet shalt thou be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble and did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, everyone in his own house. But thou art cast down out of the grave like an abominable branch, and as the raiment of those that are slain, thrust through with a sword that go down to the stones of the pit, as a carcass trodden under feet. Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people. The seed of evildoers shall never be renowned." All right, let's go back to our text in Ezekiel. And just some comments on these passages, some of the highlights as I was reading this last night and just pulling a few things out of it. In verse 2, Ezekiel 28 and verse 2, "Son of man, saying to the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God. I sit in the seat of God in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God." So here is the prince of Tyrus who has an extreme God complex. And man, the world's full of those folks. And I never like to make light of even the name of the Lord. Back in the day, I didn't always do that. When I was a city policeman in Miami, Florida, we had a call to commit a guy who was claiming that he was Jesus Christ. We took the commitment order down and got him rounded up and took him down to what was called crisis intervention. It was a place where policemen would, it's like a mental health clinic, but it was termed crisis intervention. And they would meet you at the door as a receiving facility for someone in a mental health crisis. And it wasn't 2 hours later that we got a call on a guy who was claiming that he was God. And we get ready to take him down to the same crisis intervention, and he was telling me how he's God and all that. And I said, well, we've already got your boy down there, so you'll have company down there. And I guess it's sometime okay to make light as long as it's for the right purpose. But it's a God complex. People get the complex that they're so wonderful and so super. They call it a God complex. I've had a couple old girlfriends that, let me not go there. It's my opinion that our public school system is teaching this self-esteem thing entirely upside down. The Bible says, and I'll get to my point and how I'm working this in with somebody who thinks they are superior. The Bible says, let each esteem other better than themselves. And people that claim we're teaching all the kids that it's low self-esteem. But if you read or see some of the prison shows, you'll find that those people that cause the problems are not suffering from low self-esteem, but a hyper, super ego, hyper self-esteem. And the least little thing, you've disrespected them. Oh, he disrespected me, so I stabbed him 44 times. I mean, so here's Satan created nearly perfect, beautiful. Had the tabrets and harps, everything right there. So, and here it says he uses his wisdom and his understanding to get rich. And comes to the belief that he is equal with God. Hey, a lot of contemporary philosophies teach that same thing, that man creates his own, man is his own God. That's a religious philosophy that's taught several places in several different ways. Not God creating man in his image, but man creating God in his own image. Does that make sense? But that's what happened with Satan. Satan thought that he was just equal with God. In verse 17 it says, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee king's feet that they may behold thee. Wow. Really lifted up. Pride. That's where it all starts. Seems like so many sins begin with that high opinion of one's self. Just a quick throwback to what I was talking about with the self-esteem thing. Can you imagine if every child, any child that walked in a classroom, knew that they were esteemed by every other child in that classroom better than they esteem themselves, like the Bible teaches? If I walked in here and I know that everybody in here thinks more of me than they do themselves, man, I'd feel pretty good, wouldn't I? There'd never be a self-esteem problem if people used the Bible principle of esteeming others better than yourself. Just thought I'd throw that in. Just a little sidebar, no extra charge. Maybe another offering or two later. All right. So here it says, thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I'm in Isaiah 14, it says, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. and I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Man, he's got it together. He's something. So here's someone, it says, who is wiser than Daniel, and he obtains great wealth. The Bible says he is beautiful, and he's a great musician. I remember as a boy reading this story, and I always thought the devil had a little upper hand on people who are gifted musically and singers. I think he just knows every button that he can push to get to a musician or a singer. Man, those people who normally succeed greatly in music, most of them don't become of much use to God. They become a mess. I think the devil's got a little upper hand on that. But the Bible says he's beautiful. He's a great musician. 28:12, Ezekiel 28:12. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say to him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sun, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. I'm not sure on this passage, that's talking about the garden of Eden when he walked among Adam and Eve. Others think that maybe there's a heavenly, in heaven there's a godly garden on the mountain of God, because that mountain of God leads to another place. And it may be talking in history past. I don't know. I'll leave that to others. But it says, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis and the topaz and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald and the carbuncle and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets, and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Music, musical instruments. And it's talking about the breastplate, and turn to Exodus 28. Exodus 28, we'll see a description very similar to this of the high priest breastplate. I don't know how else to term it. Exodus 28:17, and you'll see a very similar description that I just read here in Ezekiel 28. In Exodus 28:17, and thou shalt set in it, talking about this breastplate, the high priest breastplate, and thou shalt set in it settings of stones, even four rows of stones. The first row shall be a sardius and topaz and a carbuncle. This shall be the first row, and the second row shall be an emerald and a sapphire and a diamond. The third row a ligure and an agate and an amethyst, and the fourth row a beryl and an onyx and a jasper. They shall be set in gold and their enclosings, and the stones shall be with the names of the children of Israel. 12, according to their names, like the engravings of a signet, everyone with his name shall be according to the 12 tribes. So you see, with all these jewels that adorns this breastplate of the high priest, very similar to what Lucifer, Satan, was created with. Bible says that he's extremely intelligent, wiser than Daniel. It says, and of great understanding. And don't ever try to think that you're on equal footing with the devil. He's smarter than I am. I know that's hard to believe. He's more intelligent than I am. He's got greater understanding than I do. I'm no match for the devil. You're no match for the devil. Remember those sons of Sceva? Oh, we rebuke you. He says, who are you? They would like to beat them to death. Don't get to thinking you're on equal footing with it. You better depend on the Lord. The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You better trust in Christ to keep you from the wiles of the devil. Because if Adam and Eve in their non-fallen state before the fall, before they had the fallen nature, they were no match for the devil. Why would you think that you are? An interesting thought. I didn't write it down. I'm trying to remember. It just came to mind how it's worded. It says, even Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil for the body of Moses, it says, durst not make a railing accusation. And he said, the Lord rebuke thee. He didn't rebuke him. He said, the Lord rebuke you. He said that about the devil, the archangel. So you're dealing with some a created being that's smarter than you are, most of you, and great understanding. He's tricky. He's a deceiver. We'll get to that. He has a superinflated self-esteem, a hyperego. Isaiah 14:13, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. That's what he said. And you know what he desires? He desires worship. My. So where do you get that from, preacher? Remember what he said to the Lord? He told the Lord over there in Matthew 4:9, he took him up to the pinnacle and showed him all the kingdoms of the world, and he said, all these shall I give thee. I've got it written down. Matthew 4:9. And saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, watch it, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. He didn't say, if you serve me. Remember Brother Peacock preaching on worship, that the worship comes first before the service? See, the devil knew that if he gets your worship, then he'll have your service. He desires worship. That's one of the things about him that you should understand. He's charismatic. People are drawn to him. Remember Ananias and Sapphira? They'd sold a piece of land. They're supposed to give, everybody had everything in common. They're supposed to give the money, but they held back part of the money. And Peter confronts Ananias. Acts 5:3. Peter said, Ananias, watch it. Why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? You know, so evidently he has the power to put things into your mind. It's what it said. Why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? You know, some of the things you and I might be doing might be kind of put in our heart by the devil. The Bible said the way of man is not, it's not in man to direct his path. The way of man is not in itself. Somebody is kind of trying to pull you this. Hey, isn't that how it is in the world? Everybody's trying to pull you one way or another way. The Baptists are trying to pull you out of a Presbyterian church to come to a Baptist church. The Presbyterians are trying to pull you out of the Lutheran church. Everybody's trying to tug on you. That's how the devil does. Also, he can take things out of your heart. What he said, he that talks about the ones who sow, the sower and the seed, said a man sows a seed, and then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in your heart. Just as soon as you hear preaching, the wicked one wants to take that out of your mind. Catcheth away that which is sown in your heart. I do a message on this, on those two things I just talked about. That's why you remember the beer commercials and you can't remember Scripture. Budweiser, okay. Getting kind of quiet in here. Let me move on. And I saw one of his heads, Revelation 13:3, as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. Watch it. And all the world wondered after the beast. He's pretty charismatic. When that Antichrist shows up, man, the whole world's going to wonder at that Antichrist. He's going to be popular. People are going to like him. Man, where did this guy come from? He's something else. Well, we saw he's big into music. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. That's musical instruments. I don't know what that was about, but that's what it says. You do with it what you want to. You know what the Bible says about the mysterious? Talks about the mysterious sons of God. That's very difficult to hear explained. They start talking about creation, they leave that out normally because they don't get it. Scofield said that they were the line of Seth, but if it's a line of Seth, it included harlots and murderers and everybody else. There's a messianic line, but there's no godly line. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He destroyed the world of the ungodly. A.W. Pink said it couldn't have been a line of Seth. And I disagree with Pink on a lot of things. He's a Calvinist in a lot of ways. But you know what it says about these mysterious sons of God? Job 38, turn to Job 38:4. Remember, Job's kind of lifted up in pride and got a little self-righteous problem. And God said, well, hey, Job, you're so smart. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the world? If you're so smart, tell me where you were when I did all this. And this is a context. Job 38:4 said, where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Hey, if you're so smart, tell me that. Hey, who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? Now watch, he's talking about in the beginning of the creation. And I'm not going to go deep in this, but here's what it says. When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. They're singing and they're shouting at creation. Where's that show up again? Job 2. Look at Job 2 in verse 1. Again, you'll find out who's... they were singing and shouting, and you'll find out who hung out with this crowd that was singing, the morning stars singing and shouting when everything was created. Before Genesis 1, whatever. Again, Job 2:1. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. Wow. Man, that's deeper than any well I've ever been around. I'm not gonna dig there tonight. Okay, we know the high point. We know that Satan was a great deceiver. Bible says he's a father of lies, a liar, and the father of lies, a murderer from the beginning. He's a god of this world, he's referred to. He's a prince of the power of the air. It says in 2 Timothy 3:13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That's why the Antichrist shows up, man. He's so charismatic, and folks are looking for a bad guy to call a good guy anyway. Revelation 18:23 talks about Babylon. Mystery Babylon, the great harlot, the kingdom of the Antichrist. For thy sorceries, it says in Revelation 18:23, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. Only time I ever use Greek normally in here is this word. It means pharmakia in Greek, sorceries. What's the scourge of the world today? Drugs. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. Talking about the Antichrist, who's behind all that mess. There's more young people between 18 and 25 die of drug overdoses than they do of car accidents. Man, what's that about? Revelation 20:10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Wow. That's his end. And there's a verse that when the Lord comes back and they have that battle, it says, and the beast was taken. Not a tough fight for the Lord. The beast was taken. I don't know if I may as well throw this in. We talk about the Trinity of God. God is a Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, man. And God created man in his own image. Man has a body, a spirit, a soul, and a body. God has a spirit, the Holy Spirit. God has a soul, God the Father, and God has a body, Jesus Christ. The visible image of the invisible God. God manifest in the flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Just thought I'd throw that in. But what else are we told about the devil? Well, he was not an angel. Nowhere in Scripture does the Bible say that Satan was an angel. It says he is a cherub, Revelation 20:10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire of brimstone. I just read that, where the beast and the false prophet are. Oh, the devil has a trinity. The dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. Just, that's what I was getting to and left it out. All right. The devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever, ever. Ezekiel 28:14, it says, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. That's what he is. He's a cherub. Don't say he's an angel. He's a cherub. And I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. And it talks about, I don't want to go through all this again, was perfect in all thy ways. From the day that thou wast created. He's a created being. He's not eternal like God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He is a created being. The day thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. He was anointed cherub that covereth. Then it says in verse 16, by the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence. Thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub. There it is again. From the midst of the stones of fire. Okay, he covered the throne of God. Do you know what else was around the throne of God that the anointed cherub covered before he was booted out? Turn to Revelation chapter 4. And this is John on the Isle of Patmos. He's given a vision of the, and he sees the throne of God in a vision. And I guess it's a vision. I don't know. He may have been taken ahead in time, if that's possible. That's above my pay grade. But Revelation 4 and verse 6, here's that throne of God that Satan covered. And here's what it says when John sees it. He don't mention the devil. Here's what it says. And before the throne, this is John on the Isle of Patmos, and before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. Watch it. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. All right. Try to let this sink in a little bit. The first beast he sees is a lion, representing wild beast, for lack of a better term. then a calf, domesticated animals. The third is a face of a man representing mankind, and the fourth was like as a flying eagle representing the birds, fowl, the birds that fly. Two things. I'm almost done. Two things I want you to notice. First of all, what, if you'll think about it a minute, what is the only class of animals that are not represented around the throne when John is explaining what he sees? What's left out? What's missing? The reptile and aquatic life. Do you know what Satan is called? The serpent. When you think of a serpent, what do you think of? You think about a reptile. Man, that opens up a lot of things that I don't know about. He's the serpent. I've gone through this. I've listened to all the different creationists on their views, and it's hard to put together. You know, Ken Ham, he's got one way of looking at it. Ken Hovind is brilliant on the whole thing. I don't know if I agree with that. I don't know. Others talk about the pre-Adam earth. Clarence Larkin talked about that. But I got to thinking, there's a big if in this, and I'll just throw this in. If the dinosaur evidence, the fossil evidence is true, and you don't know. You know why? Because you know what fake news is? You know that they'll lie to you? They'll make up the biggest lie in the world and get you to believe it when they talk about or other things. So if they'll lie about that, and any study can come up with any conclusions, so I don't know if the dinosaur thing, if the fossil evidence is real or not. I don't know. I know that they lie like dogs on all those studies. A study was done today that says this. And then you find out who paid for the study, and you find out no wonder they ended up with that conclusion. But if the fossil evidence is true, if there were dinosaurs, where did they come from? Duh. What Hovind say, they're still here? Ken Ham says they're still here? Maybe they are. That's one possibility. As long as it's scriptural, I don't care. I'm not that. Creation is not a mountain I'm going to die on, because God says that he did it, and that's enough for me. I believe him. He don't explain all the, don't give me all the details, so I'm not going to die on that mountain. He don't give me those details. If the way you look at it lines up with Scripture, I'm all for you. Go for it. But when Satan was booted out, what if that whole reptile class went with him to this earth? Dinosaurs, T-Rex. I had a girlfriend that looked like, well, no, I don't want to go there. I don't know. I'm throwing a bunch of oddball stuff at you tonight. But look at the devil, his power. He was beautiful to look at. He was a great musician. Had all those instruments, so gifted and talented. And man, you know how we lift folks up on a pedestal. If you sing good and you look good, and man, he would have been a shoe-in on the TV shows, American Idol. He would have been the American Idol. He's so good to look at and sing so good and picks and plays music like nobody ever played before. Look out, folks. He's coming. He's getting things set up right now. Boy, he's got all these techie gadgets going on. I heard years ago that said that all the computer things is training your kids to get ready for the Battle of Armageddon. I don't know. The Star Wars type thing. I don't know about any of that. But I know about the devil that he's smarter than I am, probably smarter than you are. He's a deceiver. He's a liar. He'll lie like a dog. So watch out. For your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Be sober. Be vigilant. That's kind of who he is. He was created perfect, and he blew it, lifted up in pride. That's all I have tonight. If everyone stand up. If you're here tonight and you never trusted Jesus Christ, you better get that out of the way. Better get that done in a hurry. because you don't know when the Lord's going to come for his church, because he's going to come for his church before all this tribulation stuff takes place. Before the vials of wrath are poured out, the church is going to be out of here, because we're not appointed to the wrath, the Bible says. We're not children of the wrath, the Bible says. We shall be saved from the wrath to come, the Bible says. So you better get saved, better get your heart right with God. What's that mean, preacher? Mean you just go to him and say, I'm a sinner. Lord, I believe Jesus. Lord, I believe you are who you say you are. And I'm a sinner. I know that. I understand that. And I'm asking you to be merciful to me, a sinner. That's the simplicity of Christ. The altar's open.